Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Jacqueline Williams-Bridgers, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of State and the Broadcasting Board of Governors. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you very much for having me here, Paul.
And joining us tonight in our conversation is another PwC partner, Patty Fisher. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Paul.
Well, Jackie, in this first segment, let's start by finding out more about the role of the Inspector General. Can you tell us about the function of the Office of the Inspector General?
The Office of Inspector General for the Department of State and Broadcasting Board of Governors was created by Congress to prevent and detect fraud, waste, and mismanagement at those agencies. And like all other offices of Inspector General in the federal government, we were mandated to conduct audits, inspections, and criminal investigations of the programs and activities of our agencies. We are also all required to report directly to the secretary or the head of our agency and to the Congress, therefore reinforcing the independent nature of our operations. But what makes the Department of State OIG fairly unique is that we have three additional mandates imposed on no other OIG. We are required by law to assess the implementation of foreign policy. How well are our embassies achieving U.S. foreign policy interests abroad? We're also asked to evaluate the security posture of our embassies overseas. Are our people well protected where they live and in the chanceries where they work? Is their housing safe? Is the information securely transmitted between Washington and posts abroad? And we also are expected to evaluate intelligence activity where U.S. may have a presence in a country to ensure that it is conducted in compliance with law and is consistent with U.S. foreign policy interests.
Jackie, you started your career in public service over 20 years ago at the General Accounting Office. Can you tell us about the various positions you've held during your career?
Actually, I like to think of my career having begun before I reached GAO. I'm a native Washingtonian, so I lived and breathed government from the day I was born, I guess. And so my summer breaks from school, from college, were spent in the office of Mayor Walter Washington, learning how city government works, and actually having the exciting opportunity of working through home rule issues in the District of Columbia. But professionally, my career did begin, as you mentioned, Patty, at the General Accounting Office, where I was a program evaluator and policy analyst for a variety of domestic issues, housing and community development, small business administration, and surface transportation infrastructure. So I learned how to conduct audits and program evaluations there. I also took a very brief stint away from GAO in the early 80s and joined the Office of Inspector General Community at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and there I worked on fraud prevention and awareness issues.
How were you recruited to come to the State Department?
Actually, a colleague of mine from GAO, who had actually left GAO and went to work for the Vice President's National Performance Review Initiative. And he called and said that he heard that there was a vacancy at State Department, Inspector General position. And I was a very reluctant engagement because I was enjoying tremendously what I was doing at OIG, at GAO. And so after a few follow-up phone calls and a little bit more encouragement, I submitted my application to the White House, and there began my journey to the department.
What was attractive about making the change?
The opportunity, certainly, to run an organization that was committed to the same sorts of objectives that I had learned to come to value so much at GAO, to have a platform to realize a vision of my own about how we can improve government operations.
Jackie, you have had experience in both the legislative and executive branches. How do those experiences differ?
Actually, the differences between the GAO and the Office of Inspector General aren't that great. We both have the same mission, and that is to improve operations of government. We both have similar constituencies. GAO largely, of course, reports to the Congress, but we also report to the Congress as well as to the agencies that we work with. And we also have the same operating principles. It's independence of thinking, independence of thought, and the mandate to produce objective and unbiased analysis. What probably I find is our fundamental differences between working in the legislative branch and working in the executive branch is that the legislative branch is much about building coalitions, whereas in the executive branch, the agenda is more or less set. The goals are made quite clear out of the White House. Mm-hmm. And so the real challenge there is working with people to ensure that everyone's working on the same strategies to achieve the goals that are well articulated from the beginning.
As you look back on your career, what positions provided you the best opportunity to develop as a leader?
Actually, I think GAO and OIG have provided different but equal and invaluable experiences in developing me as a leader of an organization. GAO provided me the fundamentals, their emphasis on training and evaluation technique, on communication and delivery, on the legislative process, were essential to the work that I do now. But at OIG, I had the opportunity to test whether or not I could actually motivate people around a vision that I had for working inside an agency. I also had the ability to work in a global environment, and that certainly is a challenge, not only in communicating in timely ways and conducting your work in timely ways, but being very mindful of cultural contexts and organizational structures that are quite different and often make the goals and the programs and activities that you think you know so well not work very well at all.
You mentioned communication and the ability to motivate people as qualities that are characteristic of a good leader. Are there other characteristics that you deem to be important to become a good leader?
Oh, absolutely. I think as important as it is to know how to communicate well, listening is so critical. You've got to hear what people are saying and react. And I think probably as importantly, to go out and seek feedback from the bottom of your organization to the very top, from inside and from outside, and to continuously reevaluate whether or not what you are doing makes sense to the people inside. Because if they don't understand what you're doing, if they're not on board, then you'll never really achieve your goal, as well as the people on the outside, especially with OIG, which has been traditionally characterized as being a very closed kind of shop to make our operations transparent. I think so being open and being inquisitive, asking questions, I think is so very important.
Do you think those qualities have changed over time as you reflect back on your 20-ish years of experience in the government?
Oh, yes. When I began in government, I think I idealized leaders who told us what to do. I think a leader now must ask, what should we do? How do I best meet the customer needs? I think also it's very important for leaders now to move away from small group think and to move toward community thinking, engagement of others.
How so? Does that mean within an organization or even across the organization?
Across organizations. Organizations no longer work in isolation. I think probably we learned this most starkly during our Y2K experience. We had no idea how connected and how dependent we were on other agencies in the United States government as a whole, how dependent we were on small and micro enterprises. So I think we are foolish to think that we work in isolation, just as countries, whole countries now realize that they are so dependent on the smallest countries, the largest countries, to advance global markets.
Okay, well, great. Well, it's time for a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.